What's up, my friend? Welcome to the Finding Direction podcast. My name is Stu Massengill, and I'm here every single week to bring you a passionate guest or message dedicated to helping you find your purpose so that you can live a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for hanging out with me, and let's dive in. What's up, my friend? Welcome back to another episode here on Finding Direction. This week, I'm sitting down with Alan Donegan, who is, as you will hear on this episode, truly an amazing human. To give you a little bit of his background, Alan is the co-founder of the award-winning Rebel Business School, Rebel Finance School, and the Rebel Entrepreneurship Podcast. He became financially independent at 40 years old, and now he uses his time to help other people from all walks of life start their own business, take control of their finances, and avoid debt. Rebel's mission is to change the way entrepreneurship and finances are taught across the world. And as of now, the company has educated over 20,000 people, and no one has ever actually paid for their support because of their unique sponsorship model, a really, really cool thing that they do. And on this episode, a few things that you can expect is we talk about why you should start selling first if you want to start a business. It's a very different way to look at things. We talk about how to start becoming financially independent, why you should stop searching for your direction, and so many other things that we dive into on this episode. It is going to be an absolute fun one. It's going to be one that brings you lots of value. So without further ado, let's dive in. Alan Donegan, welcome to the show, man. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm very excited, Stu. I cannot wait.
Heck yeah. Love it. So where we can start, it's interesting, you know, right before we pressed record, you were talking about how you've had those moments in your life when you felt lost and just like not really sure what the heck you're supposed to be doing with your life. And I was wondering if we can kind of kick this off by, you know, sharing with us a moment in your life where you look back on and you just felt lost and, you know, like asking yourself those questions of like what am I supposed to do with my life? Like what was a moment you can remember in your life where you were kind of going through that motion?
Well, I think one of the biggest was I was about 28 years old. I had a job running a landscape gardening firm. I did something very stupid, got myself fired. They unfired me. They paid me to leave. Huh. We can't talk about it other than that. And then I was left going, what do I do with my life? Yeah. My family was falling to pieces and I was trying to help my mum survive a divorce and all of that stuff. And I had no job. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I searched and searched for a job, but couldn't find anything I wanted to do. And I just, you just feel lost. You're like, well, none of these jobs inspire me. I lost the job I was doing. I had a mission. Now, what do you do with your life? And I think we've all ended up in these places where you go, what do I actually do? How do I move forward? So I had a plan. My plan's changed.
Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah. Very interesting. So when you were in this moment, what was sort of the next step that you decided to take? Like, how did you find yourself eventually getting out of that?
Well, I think how I found my way out was I was a very troubled teenager. I was a mess. I had a lot of problems. And someone handed me a self-development book when I was about 21 years old with the biggest mess in my life. And it was actually Notes from a Friend by Tony Robbins was the book they handed me. And I read this little book and I remember going, I never knew any of this existed. What do you mean I can set a goal and I can do this? And I had no idea about any of self-development. And it changed everything for me. And I learned so much. And I read all of Tony's books and in there he references this thing called NLP and I did all those courses and it helped me go from nervous, shy, couldn't talk to strangers, couldn't make a sales call. I was trapped by my own beliefs. I was absolutely trapped to being able to like find jobs, make money. Yeah. I got a girlfriend, like things changed for me. And eventually I started to decide that the tools that had helped me change my life, I wanted to share with other people. Mm. And I think that was the beginning. So I did what everyone who's ever been on an NLP course before does, which is try and become a trainer, and realized very quickly it was a crowded marketplace and it was difficult to do, et cetera, et cetera. But I was on this mission of how can I help people? And I think searching for my value in the world in terms of what I have to give.
Yeah.
I think that's what truly helped me. Like, how can I help? How can I give? How can I add value to the world were the questions that I asked myself. And through doing that, I started to figure out how to earn my own money.
Hmm. Interesting. So I know, you know, two of the things that you teach and share with people a lot now is one, an idea of financial independence and creating financial independence in your life. Obviously, maybe we'll talk about this more, but you and your wife, you travel all over the world, you are financially independent, and you've created this beautiful business and life for the two of you. And I know another aspect of what you like to share with people is a different look on business, where a lot of times people go, oh, business, it takes money to make money. And you kind of have this idea of, like you can actually start a business without taking money to make money, and kind of this different concept that's, you know, very not normal. And I'm curious, what made you land on like, these are the two things that I want to add value to the world in regards to?
Basically, they were biggest problems in my life, Stu. I fixed my own problems. And then I was like, I could teach other people to do this. These are problems everyone has.
Yeah.
Got fired by the firm, had a little bit of cash, thought about starting a business, went to the British government for support starting a business. And they gave me three workshops. They gave me how to write a business plan. Really exciting topic. Finance and funding, which funding is literally a code word for how do you borrow money to start? Not exciting. And marketing, how to create a business card and a flyer. Again, they did more to put me off starting a business than they did to help me.
Interesting.
And they actually left me in a mess. And I was left thinking, like, how do I start a business? I'm allergic to debt because of what happened to my dad. He went bankrupt for a huge amount of money. He gambled away the family home. Like, that mess has chased me for decades.
Dang.
And I was like, I'm never going into debt. Never. So how do I figure out how to do this? So I started reading books. I started searching online. I got inspired. I ran a program on entrepreneurship for schools. I made a little bit of money. Then I started teaching corporate training, and I taught presentation skills and presence and charisma and fun subjects like that. And I had a lot of fun doing it. And then eventually I figured out I was making money. You know, the first year I lost money, then I started to figure things out. The third year, I figured out how to sell to corporates. Corporates have way more money than schools. It was a lot better. And, you know, it went from losing money to making 40 grand a year, to making 70 grand a year, to making 90, 100 grand a year. And then I'm like, wow, I've learned how to do this. And the secret is, don't waste your time on business plans. Don't waste your time creating a product. Sell before you create. So if I could give one thing to any entrepreneur listening to this, it would be sell before you create. Nearly everyone in the world creates first and sells second. That's why you have garages full of t-shirts and random things that people have created to try and sell. Don't waste your time. Go out, like maybe sketch the design of the t-shirt, outline the line of the course, like describe what you're going to sell, and then go out and see if anyone will buy it. If they buy it, you have a customer and then you can deliver it. If no one buys it, you've learnt without risking any of your capital. It's like the number one rule in debt-free startup is sell before you create. And if you do that, you will change the course of your world, of your life.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, we have a lot of our listeners who are in corporate, but also transitioning out of corporate. And I think that is an interesting point, that it's like sometimes when you look to transition out, you go, oh, how can I create this thing or build this thing and like take money and invest it into, you know, my side hustle or whatever. But what you're saying is a different approach where it's like, hey, if you want to exit and go do your own thing, what's something that you can sell first? So can you walk us through that a little bit more? Like, let's say we have, you know, someone listening to this and they go, man, I'm in this corporate thing. I don't really love it. I want to get out. And you're taking an approach of saying, okay, if you want to get out, start selling something rather than creating a business model, business plan, all that. Can you kind of walk us through a little bit further of how somebody can maybe start doing that?
Absolutely. So the standard thing people do, and I guess the first thing I would say, is don't try and apply the same methodology you learned in corporate world to startup world, because running a 1,000-person organization is very different to launching a brand new business. It's just a different world. It's a different way of being. An MBA will teach you how to run a giant business. It'll not teach you how to start a small business. It's a different thing. If you want to go and get large amounts of funding and do a VC thing and all of that stuff, you probably do need to write a business plan and do all sorts of things, but they will still ask you, have you actually sold anything? They will still ask you, is it actually a trading business?
Right.
For me, the best way to do it is to actually sell something. So you're asking, what does it actually look like to do that? I don't care what it is you want to do. We could throw up a one-page website that you can design yourself, or you can get someone to help you with some graphics. You can ask your kids to help you with Canva. I don't care. Create a one-page website and then have an offer on it and then send it to people who might actually be interested. Or if you're selling business to business, use LinkedIn, connect with the people who might be wanting to buy from you and ask them. Okay, let me back up a bit. Imagine I'm launching a new product, Stu. Imagine I'm going to launch a new phone case. I've designed a brand new phone case. When people come up with that idea, I'm going to launch a brand new phone case, I'm going to change the world. Who do they go and ask for feedback normally? Who do they go to at the start? Here's my new idea.
Ideally customers.
Yeah, but most of them go to their friends to start with. Friends, supportive people, like they look for some initial feedback and they say, what do you think of my idea? So just for a second, Stu, you can reject me again afterwards, but imagine you are my friend for the sake of this and you actually care about my feelings.
Sure. Of course.
I come to you and I say, Stu, I've got my new idea. I've got my phone case. I'm going to change the world of phones. What do you think?
Yeah, I think most friends are going to say, oh yeah, it's, you know, I mean, depends who your friends are, but I think they're going to want to support you because they're your friend.
Is that useful feedback?
No.
No, because they're just being nice to you.
Yeah.
So what you should do at that point is say to them, Stu, I'm so glad you love it. I have a box of 10 here. They're the first ones that I've ever made. It's $50 a case. Would you like to buy one now, please?
Yeah, you can feel the tension.
Would you like to buy one?
Yeah, I think my phone case is okay.
There's the real answer. And here's the bit I want people to get. Until you ask someone to take their credit card out of their purse or their wallet, they will be nice to you. The moment of truth is when you ask for the cash. So stop surveying customers. Stop asking them if they would buy and actually ask them to buy. I'm ready to do this. We can do exactly what you want. All you need to do is say yes and I'll take care of the details. The price is this. Now, why does no new startup actually want to do that?
I think because people think people don't like sales.
Sales is icky. Sales is scary. You might get rejected, which if you're launching your own business, let's just be straight to the chase. You will be rejected. It's just
for
when.
Sure. Yeah.
And if you're not being rejected, you're not trying hard enough. Mm. But people generally think sales is icky. And I've done this experiment the world over. I go into rooms of people to try and help them launch businesses. And I say to them, okay, let me play the word association game with you. So if you're listening to the podcast right now, shout out. I don't care if you're in your car, just shout out anyone. Everyone thinks you're crazy anyway. It's okay. Shout out what the first thing is that comes to mind when I say the word salesman. What comes to mind? Stu, salesman, what comes to mind?
The word good came to my mind.
Ooh, good. But I like that. You have positive associations.
Yeah, I like sales. So I think sales are a very important thing. So I think my association is probably different than the majority.
Yeah, 99% of people will say slimy, dodgy, sleazy, shiny suits, car windows, car used car salesman. Like, they have these bad associations with the world of sales. And here's me going, if you want to launch a business, sell something. And they're going, yes, Alan, I should sell something. But sales is bad. And we actually need to help them change their neuro associations, just as you exactly said, Stu has figured out. Well, I should ask Stu. Stu, why is sales good for you? Why is sales good?
Because it allows you to help somebody with the problem that they have.
I love that. That's the most beautiful answer. And it took me a long time to figure out that. Every time I make a sale, I get people to help.
Yeah.
And that is a completely different way of thinking it to everyone else. So if you think, I'm launching a business, I'm leaving corporate world, the best thing you can do is find someone with a problem that you think you can fix and sell something to them to fix their problem. They will be so happy that you fix their problem and you will be wealthier and have money and be able to buy pizza now you don't have your corporate job. It fixes everything. Yeah. So I think if we can change our associations of sales, just exactly as Stu said, then we can get excited about going into the world, creating a difference. And it's just a completely different possibility. And you don't need a business plan unless you're borrowing a lot of money. And if you're borrowing a lot of money, that is incredibly risky. Just stop. I don't care what business it is. A restaurant, a photography business, a consulting business, you do not need to borrow $100,000 to launch any of those.
Yeah. Love it. Heck yeah. So if we change from the business aspect to like the financial independence aspect of your life, I'm curious, first, if we jump into your story, you know, at what point did you and your wife decide to say, you know what, we're going to, and if you could expand a little bit kind of on like the life that you live, because I think it's an amazing life that you've created for yourself and your wife. Could you expand a little bit on the life you guys have created and what kind of created the inception and the idea of like, hey, this is the life that we want to live?
A great question. So if I just back up very slightly, to me, the term financially independent means you have invested enough so that your assets produce more income than you need to live.
Yeah.
If that is the case, you don't need to go to work each week because your assets will provide the money you need for pizza, apartments, whatever it is you need to live. That's the idea. And we came across this idea and we got super excited and we're like, okay, we're going to... The basis of financial independence is increase your income, decrease your spending to create a massive gap between the two. And then you take that gap, you pay off debt, and then you invest it to create a return. That's the basis of it. And that's what we did. We invested, I mean, very simply in Vanguard index funds, like a famous American one. If most of your audience is American, VTSAX, the total stock market index. We're getting very geeky there, but I did want to give people actual tangible details.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you.
So you can invest in that and it will grow. We invest in a global index fund. And I think on my I think it was slightly earlier, like one of my birthdays, it's like I'm coming up to 40 and I've always wanted to write a movie. And my wife had given me a birthday present, which was a course called How to Write a Movie in a Month. And I just wanted to do it, but I'd never found the month. So I was journaling about my goals and I had lots of goals around movies. And she played my role for once. She said, Alan, like, why don't you just do it? And I kind of went, what do you mean, just do it? I was like, okay. So I decided to go. I'm the most stereotypical person in the world, Stu. You have to forgive me with this, but I'm British, so it sounded cool to me. I'm going to Hollywood to write a movie. I'm going to LA. I'm going to write a movie. That's where it needs to be. That is the place to go. So I booked 2 months, left my business in my business partner's hands and just left for 2 months. I rented a place right on Santa Monica Beach by the pier. And every morning I would cycle along the bike path and go for coffee overlooking the ocean, and I would write my movie script. And at the end of 2 months, we were flying back to the UK and we did our numbers. And living in Santa Monica is not cheap. This was probably the most expensive trip I've ever done, staying there for 2 months. And we were worth more having not worked than we were when we left. And first off, we went, this doesn't seem real. Check the numbers. And they were like, okay, no, actually, it is real. How has this happened? And the market had grown more. Our investments had grown more than we had spent. And then you have the thought, why am I going back to the UK? It's grey there. The people are grey. The weather is grey and it rains a lot. Why? And that shocking revelation of the fact that we were worth more after 2 months of doing exactly what we wanted. Katie learnt the guitar, went to an open mic night and performed her own song. We cycled along the bike path. We ate many breakfast burritos and I wrote a movie script and we had the time of our life. And that just then freed us to the second part of your question, is like the lifestyle now.
Yeah.
We can do anything we want because our investments cover our life. So we're in Poland at the moment. Then we're traveling over to go to Date with Destiny and Unleash the Power Within with Tony Robbins. Then I'm launching Rebel Business School in Mexico with a team down there. I can't believe my course has been translated into like 5 languages across however many countries. And we get to travel around the world and have fun, but it's all thanks to past Katie and Alan's work of investing.
Right.
So I guess what I want to say to everyone listening to this is, what are you doing today to set yourself up for the future you want to live? That for me, like, what can you do today that future you will be proud of and go, I'm so glad they did that. I'm so glad they invested in index funds. Yeah. I'm so glad they read the book on financial independence and they started going, I'm just grateful. What could you do today that future you would be grateful for? Launching a business, investing, sorting your finances out, finding your purpose, which I guess to tie in sort of one last element for you, Stu, and I know I've talked a lot, so I'm going to shut up after this bit, is what we learned in those first few years is, even if you've reached financial independence, the number will not bring happiness. You still need a purpose. And our purpose has become teaching other people how to get to financial independence, because we're like, well, we did it. I fixed my biggest problem in business and then taught other people. I fixed my business, my biggest problem in finances, and then I taught other people. And we give the course away for free and we do it because we care and we want to help people. We called it Rebel Finance School. But we need purpose. Just, you can't just sit on a beach with a margarita. You will go insane.
So cool. Have so let's tried? Say then we have, one of our listeners and they go, all right, I'm bought in financial independence. Like, what an awesome idea, right? Having more income and assets than I do expenses, and I can kind of live whatever lifestyle I want. What would you say are a few steps someone could take, let's say over the next couple of years to get there? Because obviously it's not something you snap your fingers and tomorrow you're like, I'm financially independent, right? It's going to take time. It's going to take energy. It's going to take probably years, right? So like, what are a few things someone could do over, let's say, the next, I don't know, handful of years to really get themselves to one day have a trip like you had in Santa Monica where they go, wait, I have more than, you know, like, what are a few things people could do for that?
So I guess, like, in terms of practical things, they really are the key levers you've got is reduce expenditure, increase income, and invest the gap.
Yeah.
So if practical steps, I would be going through, where does my money go? Because if you ask most people, like, okay, so what do you spend your money on? They'll go, well, this much goes on my mortgage, this much goes on this, but I'm not really sure where the rest goes. I don't really have that much left at the end of the month. And if that's you and you're going, where does my money go? Well, that's the first question to answer. There is an obvious way to do it. Go through your credit card receipts and you can find out where your money goes. Like, literally total it all up, work out where it goes, and then go, am I actually getting value from this spending? Is it making my life better? Could I reduce it and take some of it and invest it instead? So, like, step one, where does the money go? Step two, can we increase your income? So if you have a job, can we ask for a pay rise? Can we find a way to move? Can we do this? Can we do that? There's so many ways to increase your income. And if you're in America, or you're in one of the best places in the world to increase your income. And if we can do that and generate the gap, then we can take the gap and invest it. If you're in the States, you want to do it in a tax-advantaged account, a 401k, a Roth, whatever it is, the vehicle you've got, and then buy a broad-based passive index fund like VTSAX or VTI, the global ETF, something like that, and invest as much as you can, track it every month, and just watch it grow. That's the, like, general principles. Some of you will be going, he's given me a lot there. Yes, listen back three times and write it down. That's the general principles of how to do it. If you really want to go further, there's a great podcast called Choose FI, Choose Financial Independence. The guy who runs it is Brad. That's his whole subject. He's excellent. Mr. Money Mustache is a fantastic blog all about financial independence. Our free course, Rebel Finance School. Just learn more, because I tell you what, it will pay so many dividends. So many dividends. The freedom. Like, the freedom to be able to do what you actually want. And the question I'd ask everyone is, if you didn't have to work, what would you do? And there's two thoughts there. One is, get to financial independence so you can do it. And two is, start a business doing the answer to that question and make money doing what you would do if you didn't have to work. And you can kind of do either, and you'll get the same result.
That's awesome. Heck yeah.
Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah.
Crazy?
Yeah. It makes a ton of sense. So, so if we go back into your life then, right? Obviously you have financial dependence. You have a purpose that you're living, right? You have found direction in your life. I'm curious, how do you look at, let's say, the next 5-10 years of your life? Like, what is that next direction for you, and how do you kind of continue to move forward on the path that you've created?
5 and 10 years is a long time. I think it's good to have a plan for your finances over the long run. Then you get it sorted, and this is where you get to the point of what got you here won't get you there. So the skills that get you to financial independence aren't necessarily the skills that will help you enjoy it. So I don't have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan. I just want to do cool stuff that makes a difference in the world. That's it. I want to meet cool people. I want to travel around the world. I want to make a difference. We're writing a book, and people go, that's a multi-year project. I wrote it in 10 days. Like, they don't have to be big projects. You can make things happen. And then obviously I've got to sell the book, edit the book. Like, it's going to take a bit longer than that. But doing amazingly cool projects, I think, has become the thing that I'm excited about. I want to run Rebel Finance School. This year we've just run it. It's on YouTube right now. And we've had, I think, 7,000 people through the course. Which for us is incredibly large for a course. And that was 3 months of incredibly hard work. And then I go, okay, I've worked for 3 months. Now I want some time off. We're going to the gym. We've just done a 63-hour fast. Like, we're looking after our bodies and our health and recovering. And then we'll do the next project. And I think it's nice to have a really cool project and then space to watch the entire set of X-Men movies and go to the gym. And then you get excited again. You go, I want to do another project, and I want to do cool stuff. And I think it's just that excitement for life that comes. And, like, I'm not trying to build something that's huge, just trying to have fun and make a difference in the world. And I think that's where it becomes different from the, when I worked out about financial independence, it was about 6 years for us to get to financial independence. It was about 10 years to go from more or less zero invested to 1 million invested. So it was a 10-year journey to do it. then I did have a 5-year plan and a 10-year plan, and I knew what I was doing, and I focused on it and I made it happen. And I think that is incredibly useful. I wanted to make that key distinction for everyone. Like, what I'm doing now probably won't help you if you're on the journey to it as much, but getting excited about life and making a difference will, at whatever stage you're at.
Amazing. So cool. So I'm curious then, Alan, you know, let's say we have a listener and they're going, I need to hang out more with Alan. You're doing some awesome work. Obviously, you got the podcast, lots of different courses you guys have created. Where would be the best place for someone where they want to check out Rebel Finance, Rebel Business, the podcast? Like, where's the best place for our listener to go to kind of dive a little bit deeper into your world? Because obviously you have so many valuable things you're doing for so many people. So where's the best place they can go?
Stu, you are so kind. Well, I guess first off, if you're going to go to UPW in Dallas this year, come and say hello. We'll be there. That would be incredible.
Yeah.
Secondly, like, just type Alan Donegan and you'll find my wife Katie and I's website, and that will have Rebel Finance School on there. It will have a link to the podcast. The podcast is called Rebel Entrepreneur. The podcast is basically how to build a business with no debt. And if you want to understand the philosophies, there is an episode that's called 5 Ways to Build a Business with No Money. And even if you have money, don't spend it. Build it without spending the money, because you will learn how to sell. You will learn how to do things you really need to know. So I don't care if you have money or not. Learn how to do it without, and it will completely change the way you look at business. So alandonegan.com will take you to most things. Rebel Finance School, if it's financial independence, or Rebel Entrepreneur, if it's... There's a lot of rebels there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Basically, I am the rebel.
Yeah. So cool. So last question I have for you is a question we ask all our guests, because we want to help our listener find direction, but we also believe in doing it through action, is what would you say is one thing our listener could do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
I love that, Stu. So I guess my key message to everyone is most people go out there into the world searching for their direction, and they think their direction, their purpose is out there, and they go out there looking, I'm going to explore, I'm going to go and have a sit with my legs crossed, and I will find my purpose in the Himalayas, and I will find my purpose. And it's almost like they're waiting for the clouds to part, the sun to shine down on them, the angels to sing, and you'd found your purpose.
Yeah.
It does not exist. You decide what your purpose is. Mm. So what I would say to you to do right now is to write down 5 ideas of what it could be, and then run some mini experiments to test those ideas. So you go, maybe my purpose is helping people like Stu. Let me volunteer for Stu on the podcast for a bit. Maybe my idea is I want to help people with their finances. Let me learn about Rebel Finance School and do a test on that. Maybe my purpose is launching businesses. It doesn't matter what it is. Just make it up and test it. And that's how you will know. Like, you will know through action. And I have this thing of nearly everyone in the world waits for motivation to hit them. Hmm. And motivation is not something that's out there like a lightning bolt that is going to hit you. Motivation comes from doing things. So if I could ask you to get up, get out there and test some of your ideas with mini experiments, low-cost, free mini experiments. A volunteer, try a purpose, see what happens, give a few days to a business, go to a charity. I don't care. Take action and do something. It is within that action that your direction will become clear to you.
Love that. Amazing. Well, Alan, it has been an absolute joy to have you on the podcast today. Thank you so much for being here. And we really, really appreciate you. So thank you, brother.
Loved it. You're awesome.
Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. Make sure you give yourself a pat on the back, a round of applause, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that lights up your soul, and that is absolutely something worth celebrating. I hope you got some value from that episode with Alan. More importantly, as always, I hope you take some of that knowledge, some of those wisdoms, that insight, and I hope you start applying it to your life. Other than that, my friend, that is all we have for you today. Thank you, as always, for joining us here, and we will talk to you on the podcast soon. Take care.